I want to invite you to come on back. We're going to get started. So welcome, everyone, to our second Sunday of the Advent season. Throughout this season, we focus our attention on the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, into our world. So we celebrate his birth, his coming to be with us. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. Last week, we emphasized that Jesus is the true light who gives light to everyone. And we talked about how light impacts our lives, both physically and spiritually. Today, I want to consider how Jesus is our living hope. And I want to begin with some understanding about how valuable and vital hope is. There is a poem I found. It's actually a famous poem by Emily Dickinson. I'm going to put that up on the screen. Called, "Hope is a Thing with Feathers." I don't know if you can read that very well, but I'll read it. It says, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches on the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. And sweetest is in the gale is heard. And sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me." Now, if you're like me, you may have to read through that a few times to really grasp what this is saying. And I even started searching. I read this one and thought, I'm going to see if I can find something that says something a little bit more clear. I searched all over it. I could not find another poem or saying out there that really expressed hope as well as this one when you really look at it. And so I want to walk through it a little bit. I kept coming back from it because it captures so well the beauty and powerful strength of hope. It points out that hope rests on your soul and sings a song without ceasing. And that's such a beautiful picture in itself. There's this voice that continues to speak, to sing to you day in and day out. It reminds me that when you stop and listen, you can hear the song of a bird rising above other noises out in the world, and how that bird song can create such peace and calm and joy. That's what she's describing hope as. The poem goes on to say, "And sweetest in the gale is heard." So when the storms are swirling around you and blowing like a gale of a storm, that is when hope sings its song most sweetly. Hope is what empowers us to hold on in those storms and not just give up and give in. We cling to its sweet song, knowing, and not just wishing, but knowing that the storm will pass and the sun will shine again. Because hope reminds us there is a better tomorrow. Now the poem goes on to say, "And sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm." To abash is to embarrass or to rattle. The songbird of hope is not rattled at all, even by the fiercest of storms. This poem is saying, surely, only the most fierce storm could ever rattle this little bird, but it continues to sing on and on no matter how difficult the days get. Hope, lasting hope, real solid hope, is persistent and unchanging. It calls out to you over and over and over again, calling you to turn its ears, to turn your heart, to turn your mind toward it, to pay attention to what it sings as more true than what the storm in front of you is telling you right now. Hope is there to remind you to not just look at today, but remember the truths that you know that are eternal. The last part of this poem says, "I've heard it calling in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me." And you can look back at all the various times when hope has sustained you through all kinds of trials. You realize that hope doesn't demand anything of you. You don't have to prove yourself. You're not required to do something to earn the next batch of hope that you can get. You're not required to be a certain type of person. You don't owe anything for what it's done to you. Hope is something offered freely. You only have to believe in it. You only have to receive it, to hear it and embrace it in order to receive all that it offers. Hope is a vital force that gives reason to life. A person without hope is filled with emptiness and despair. Hopelessness saps our motivation. It takes away our purpose. It even takes away our care about anything in life. Hopelessness takes all those things away and leaves you a person wandering aimlessly throughout life, not really living at all. But hope sustains us day after day. It gives us a reason to keep moving forward, even in difficult times. And I personally have come to understand this. Hope is what gives me reason to live each and every day. It gives me reason to keep pursuing good things in life. Hope is so important to our lives. It is life-giving. It awakens our senses. It reminds us that there is beauty and light in the world that are worth pursuing. There's something better in this life. We don't have to settle for the darkness and dullness that can overtake us. Hope is a thing with feathers that rests on your soul and keeps on singing its tune to you again and again. When you read through the Bible, you can see that God offers hope to mankind over and over again. He does not stop. And that hope drives and sustains people who receive it for centuries even. There's all kinds of examples of people living by hope throughout Scripture. And I love that the passage that Lynn shared today, that it spoke to that same kind of hope, that God spoke to that man and said, even though all these terrible things are going to happen around you, because you trust in me, you will be sustained. He had that hope to live in. When you go back to Genesis, and you read through Genesis 3, you learn about the fall of mankind into sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They ate from that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And at that moment, you could see that they lost sight of hope. They went and hid. They covered themselves. They tried to hide from the Lord when he came looking for them. They had lost their sense of hope in living for him. They were probably wondering what he would do to them now that they had disobeyed him and now that they had an awareness of evil. And there certainly were dire consequences to their actions. What they did could not be undone. The world was changed completely. They had invited sin and evil into God's perfect creation, and the world was broken. We still suffer the consequences of that today. And God rebuked them for their disobedience. He banished them from the garden for their own sake, really, so that they would not have to face other consequences of living forever with their sin. But he never left them. God was with them even after he put them out of the garden. He clothed them. He put them into the world. And yet their relationship was changed, yet God did not abandon them. There was still hope. Later, as the sinfulness of mankind grew, wickedness was found everywhere, and God had told a man named Noah to build a boat. And he told God, God told him that he would save him and his family and every kind of animal with him. Genesis 7 tells us that Noah was about 600 years old when the flood came to fill the earth. So a 600, almost 600-year-old man, with no visible signs of a storm coming, began to build a boat in the hope of a promise of God. That was the strength of hope in Noah's life at that time. His hope rested in the promise of the Lord that he would be saved, that the storm would come, that evil would be wiped off the face of the earth in that time. It was hope that motivated him to act because he knew that God was faithful. Hope and the promise of God told Israelites like Joshua and Caleb that they would not be overcome by powerful and wicked people occupying the land that God promised them. Even though everyone else was scared and said, there's no way we could defeat these people, these men said, no, God has promised us. We're going to stand on his promises. We're going to hope in his promises. And their hope caused them to take action. Hope sustained the people of Israel as they marched around the city of Jericho, waiting for God to turn that city over to them in the miraculous way that he did. The prophets of Israel who warned God, or warned the people of God's coming judgment for abandoning their covenant with him, also offered hope. They told them that God would sustain and restore them one day, that punishment and exile were necessary judgment for their actions, but they would not last forever. For the first 39 chapters of the book of Israel, of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah warns Israel and the surrounding nations what's going to happen to them. But after chapter 39, and beginning of chapter 40, he writes this. Actually, if you want to follow along, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I just encourage you to follow along with me so you know I'm reading directly from God's word. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. This is how Isaiah begins after giving all these warnings. He says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So again, after all those warnings, God speaks these words of comfort to his people, promising even that they will receive, what was it, double the blessing of all of their sin. It's a huge promise of hope that God gives his people just before he's about to punish them for their sin. Now, it was another 100 years after Isaiah wrote these words that Babylon finally came and conquered Judah. And then it was another 70 years before they were released to return to the land of Israel and begin rebuilding. Hope sustained Israel through all of those years. And then it was another 500 years that a child was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the promises of the Messiah that Isaiah spoke about. 500 years. And when Jesus was born, the people of Israel were still looking for the fulfillment of God's promise of that Messiah. They knew he would fulfill it over 500 years. Now, I am certain there are people in Israel who lost hope and stopped looking for the Messiah. And we know for certain that there are people at the time when Jesus was born who were looking for a different type of Messiah than what God was promising. And so the hope is not, I'm not saying that when people live by hope that it's automatic and overwhelming for everyone, but the hope is there if people will hear it and listen to it and hang on to it. God kept his promise, and God kept speaking that promise to Israel, and they could see it. Hope motivated their devotion to God through all those centuries. It gave purpose to their existence as a people. Even when foreign invaders conquered the land, when the Greeks and the Romans came sweeping through the ancient world and conquering all these different places, most of them were just absorbed into the Greek and Roman culture. But not Israel. Israel stood on their own culture, their own understanding that there is one true God, and they were not going to change their ways for these conquering people. Israel stood strong in their hope that the Lord was true and he would take care of them. Hope is a vital force that kept this people strong. They lived in anticipation of God's provision. They had a real and lasting hope in the knowledge of God's faithfulness. Then when Jesus was born, the people of Israel continued to look for the Messiah who would save them. They knew that God would fulfill his promise. So hope continued to sing its song throughout all those years. Now, as Christians today, we celebrate Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah, a Savior for all people, all over the world. And we continue to live today in the hope of his ongoing promises. Advent is a celebration of hope. It's a celebration of hope fulfilled in Jesus, and it's a celebration of hope in what is to come. And this hope that we speak of is not a false hope, or as I said, a wishful thinking. We don't just wish that our sins are forgiven. And hopefully, maybe someday, we could receive the gifts that God promises. No, the hope we have is an assurance. It is a certainty that the Lord has provided and will fulfill his promises. It is a hope that is rooted in historical truth. Jesus was born into Bethlehem in the living flesh. We have record of this, reliable accounts of his coming. It is a hope rooted in the confidence of things we know to be true. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." We have confidence in the promises of Jesus Christ because we have assurance of who he is. We don't just have a blind hope. It's a confidence hope. When we celebrate Christmas, we remind ourselves that Jesus lived. He was born into the world and became flesh. The circumstances of his birth fulfilled the promises of God spoken through the prophets like Isaiah. We have confidence in all these truths and more that he is the Savior of mankind. Jesus is the Son of God who came into this world not only to show us what it looks like to live in perfect fellowship with the Lord, but he came to offer his life in payment for our sin. He came out of love for each and every one of you because he wanted to restore our connection with the Lord through the giving of his blood. Shortly after he was born, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there was a man there named Simeon who saw him and expressed his joy at the fulfillment of God's promises through Jesus. Luke 2:29-32 says this. These are the words of Simeon when he saw the baby Jesus. He said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." And I'm fascinated by these words because Jesus had just been born. And here Simeon is speaking about the fulfillment of God's promises in him. He only saw the child, and he knew. The Spirit spoke to him in that moment and said, "This is the fulfillment of the hope that I have in God." That's who Jesus is. He is the fulfillment of the hopes that God would send a Savior for mankind to restore us and redeem us, to bring us back to the kind of life that God wanted for us from the beginning. 1 Peter 1:3-4. We can turn to that one together too and read that. 1 Peter 1:3-4. This one says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection." My page is stuck. "To the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven." We have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Our hope that we have today is a hope in the promise of the future that Jesus has promised to all who put their faith in him. It's a living hope because it affects us each and every day. It's an ongoing hope. We don't have certainty of this. It's not like it's shown to us physically. We can't touch it. But we know it to be true because of who God is. That is our living hope. when you encounter the love of God shown in Jesus through his life, his death, and his resurrection, and when you hear that song of hope that he offers and receive it by faith, you truly are reborn. Your life is transformed as you enter into this life of living hope. And every day in Christ is a new opportunity to experience his life, his grace, and his sustaining love in brand new ways. He gives us hope each and every day that we have been accepted by the Lord. No matter what your background is, no matter what you did today, no matter what you did 5 minutes ago, you can know that the Lord is ready to receive you back if only you turn to him and listen to his voice. We don't have to prove ourselves. We don't have to crawl our way back. We don't have to earn our way back to him. He is still there waiting for us. We only have to turn to him. We have been approved by him and invited to be his children. Jesus has made us pure in God's eyes through his own life. This is the living hope that we embrace. This is a hope that can motivate us and sustain us through every trial. This living hope motivates us to live every day in the knowledge that Jesus lives today and empowers us through his Spirit to work, to do the work of redeeming and restoring our world. We are called to shine his light, to put our efforts into building goodness, to repairing what is broken, knowing that he is the one who is working through us and that there is hope in him. That hope can be hard to hang on to at times, can it? We look at the world around us. We see the darkness. We see things crumble and fall apart over and over again. And yet, we have a hope in Christ that he will restore all things. He will make things right. And so we are sustained by that hope day by day that we have reason to participate in his work. We offer ourselves to his in his service in that hope that he is making a difference in this world. This is a living and active hope, and we look forward to one day experience the joy of the fulfillment of this promise, that one day we will stand before the Lord and be received by him because of Jesus, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because we have put our faith in him. Jesus has made us worthy. And we look forward to the fulfillment of the hope that one day Jesus will come and complete his work of restoring God's world. He will right all wrongs. He will ultimately defeat death and sin. And we will be given a place of eternal life in his kingdom, all because of Jesus. This is the hope in which we live today. It's a vital hope that Jesus sings to us each day. And it is a hope that can sustain us through every trial of life, if only we will hear its song. This is the truth of the hope offered to us through Jesus. As we think about this hope, I want to acknowledge today that there are difficult things we face in this world. Now, hope, although hope is always there, and it is true, and it is solid and real, we don't always see it. We don't always hear it. Sometimes we get lost in the darkness of this world. We lose sight of the hope that we have. We start to slip into hopelessness. This is the reality of living in a broken world. And I want to gloss over that and say, you all, if you're living by faith enough, you just experience this hope all the time. No, that's not true. We are going to have moments of hopelessness and despair. It's not a sin. It simply means that you are a human being who thinks and feels, and you're experiencing the brokenness of this world. You feel the weight of sinful realities. Sometimes those things seep into our hearts and minds. They clog up our ears so we can't hear that song of hope. What do we do in those moments? How do we train ourselves to listen and to cling to hope once again? I have a few ideas, and I'll share those, but I want to offer you all the opportunity to share what you think as well. You already have one, Mariah?
Yeah, bringing it back to God no matter what way, shape, or form, yeah. As long as it's being pure and putting God first and foremost.
Yeah, bringing it all back to God, putting him first and foremost. That's the key to it all, right? We need to tell ourselves about who Jesus is and what he's done. Remind ourselves of these realities. That's why times like this, the season of the year, are so important. We come back to this year after year, telling the same story of how Jesus came into the world. That story is important for us to remember and to embrace again and again, so that we can hang on to hope. It's why it's important that we gather together and worship, to remind ourselves to come before God and just release ourselves into worship of him. I encourage you, as we're singing those songs, to recognize that those are a moment for you to just let go of the cares of the world and just connect with the Lord. Allow yourself that freedom to just come before him and sing his praises, to reconnect with him, to come out of the world and come close to him. I think it's important to recognize that hope in Christ does not depend on what you do. You are accepted by Christ just as you are. You are inherently worthwhile to him. I love this phrase. You know, we started this Treehouse ministry for teens almost 5 years ago now, and they have this phrase, "You are lovable, capable, and worthwhile," that we tell teens every week. And to me, that has been a life-changing phrase, and I think every human being needs to hear it. You are lovable, capable, and worthwhile, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, no matter who you are, because God created you and God loves you, you are worthwhile. And so when we lose sight of hope, sometimes we're lost in our own actions. We're lost in our own despair, where we fit in, what we've done. We need to come back to the fact that we are inherently worthwhile to the Lord. And even when you have lost sight of hope, you are free to reach out to him and know that he is there with you. He is not waiting for you to prove yourself, to come back to him. He is there offering his hand. He is there singing that song of hope, waiting for you to turn back to him. And so we just need to remember. I've known so many people who are like, "Well, I can't. I can't go back to God because of all the things." And I've said it myself, right? I've done it myself. I can't. The reality is we can. It's just our own blocks, whatever it is that's happening in our lives in those moments that's telling us that we can't, but God is there.
Sometimes we need some sleep, yes.
Just take a little time out.
Exactly, right. Right.
I remember.
We do.
And it's, again, coming back to that remembering where our foundation is. This is why hope in Christ is so important. He is unchanging. He's always there. The third thing I thought of when we're lost in those moments is to bind ourselves to others who live in that same hope. And that is why fellowship with other Christians is so vital to life. I cannot emphasize this enough in our world today. We're so isolated and divided from one another. We need to change that in our world, because that is what restores our hope. Just being around others who can remind us of the hope that we have in Christ, who will encourage us that those things that we put our faith in are true and they will be seen by us again. This is again why not only is worship together important, when we get together for small groups, we have those ongoing gatherings with people. Those are more than just reading the Bible together. Those are encouraging one another. Or if you don't have a regular small group, just getting together with your brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis, just to check in with one another. Wendy and I were having this conversation just the other day. What was it your coworker said nobody asked him?
How are you doing? It is a rare thing in our world for people to just come up and say, "How are you doing?" They will. They'll come tell you how they're doing.
But they don't say, "How are you?"
Or they'll show interest in what's happening, but "How are you doing?" And then take time to let them tell you how
they're
doing.
Yeah, they'll ask
that. That's right, yeah. Right, they'll ask the question and then they'll go on, right?
I think that's such an important point to bring out. For us as Christians to be those people who will offer that to one another. There's such hope in knowing that someone cares how you're doing. To have people in your life that you can go to who you know care about how you're doing when you're not doing so well is important to restore hope in your life. We all need to know that there are those around us who will love and accept us even when we fail, even when we have lost sight of hope. Even in our despair, we need to know that there are those who will walk with us and will encourage us and pray for us and always be there for us. That is who we're called to be to one another as Christians. That's who we're called to be to others in the world who don't know this living hope. There are countless people out there who don't have a hope that is lasting and secure like Jesus. And I honestly don't know how many of them make it. And the truth is, many of them do not. There are many people today who just give up on life because they have no hope. They need to know that hope is in Christ. Yeah, go ahead.
I just keep remembering I've had some people in my life, like hardworking people, very, very hardworking people, have this attitude, and it like rubbed off on me, and that's why repetition is the best teacher, I believe. And I just keep remembering hearing them in my head talking about how hope never got anything done, and they're just like, they're seriously mean that.
Yeah.
They feel like they mean it. And I just think it's really important on how hope does get a lot done.
It does. I honestly feel like hope is the only reason to tell us to get anything done.
Yeah.
What was that, Pat?
It keeps the door open.
It keeps the door open, yeah.
It's why we get out of bed.
It's why we get out of bed. It is honestly true that hope is what gets us up in the morning.
Any other thoughts that you have before we wrap things up about how we can train ourselves to listen to and to cling to hope once again once we have lost sight of it?
Go ahead, Mariah. You're on a roll today.
For others to hope for hope when they're waking up, because I don't believe that always is the case.
Say that again?
To hope for others to hope for hope to wake up.
to hope for others.
Not everyone thinks that. Not everyone does think of hope when they wake up.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Because we'll lose ourselves around people like that, and it's really simple or easy.
Yeah.
Sad how easy it
is. I think what I hear what you're saying is it's easy to be sapped by those around us, so we need to be hoping and praying for them to discover hope.
And be a good example.
And be a good example for us, yeah. Absolutely.
There could be a bird that perches in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. They need a bird that perches in their heart and soul as well.
Lynn.
Yeah, to remember and recall and tell those stories of what God has done for us in the past. And God is so faithful to us. He shows himself again and again. Yeah, Robbie.
There's a scripture that says, he never leaves us or forsakes us.
Right. There's scripture that reminds us he never leaves us or forsakes us.
He's there.
Yeah, he is always there. And that there's hope in that. If we can remember that in those moments and cling to that. Right? There's this disconnect that happens. We know the truth, and yet in those moments we're like, I can't believe that truth. We need to remember it and cling to it, yeah.
This morning, in our reading through the Bible, was Jude. And what Mariah was saying, some of the verses reminded me of that. I'm going to read three verses. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, which is to find hope. And grab on it. And pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus. That's hope. Waiting for Jesus' mercy to bring you eternal life. And then he turns it to what Mariah was saying for other people. Verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So having the hope, the faith in us, it's not good enough just to sit with it.
Right.
But to look for others that are being singed by fire.
Yeah, yeah. Those who are being singed by fire.
Snatch them out of the fire.
Yeah. We are like amplifiers of the hope. Right? You have that hope, that little bird singing in your soul, right, and giving you hope. We need to amplify that and share it with those who are being singed, that they are being dragged away by hopelessness. It's not enough to just hear it for yourself, but to sing it out and to share it. I saw another hand go up back there.
I really do think that's absolutely so important, and how we come across those in those situations, and not turning people's ears off by being careful on how we communicate with them and reminding them that Jesus is in their life. And I just think that's really important.
Yeah. Absolutely. Excuse me. It's winter. It's very dry air.
Dust.
Where
I said I'm not crying, you're crying.
Right. Right, right. Such an important point. Thank you for sharing those thoughts.
Our lives in Christ are a journey in hope. So it's vital that we learn to look for and listen to that hope in our lives, that we help one another hear the song being sung in our souls every day. There is none like Jesus. Our hope rests in who he is, what he has done, and what he will do one day. This is a living hope that can sustain your life each and every day. And I pray that you may know this hope deep in your heart, your mind, and your soul. May you embrace it fully and depend on it. It will sustain your life. It will motivate you and give you purpose. So as we look forward to celebrating Christ's birth, may we all be inspired to embrace this living hope we have in and through him, and to share it widely wherever we go. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord. That hope is so vital to our lives. And I pray for each and every one of us here as we go throughout this holiday season, that if we find ourselves in any moment of despair, where we lose sight of who you are, that you would quickly bring us back. You would help us to hear you calling out. You would send your servants around us to speak that hope to us. Sing your song of hope loudly to us, Lord, that may we hear it above the noise of this world. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.